You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, Survivor News Edition, episode 197. Can I have your beads? I serve as your humble and oh so gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Survivor News. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast awaits for you to subscribe, write a review, and give your baby boy some 5 stars. And like always with our Survivor News Edition, you can follow along on our audio podcast on video. Head over to YouTube and type in Bryce Isaiah. Subscribe, give this video a thumbs up, and let us know in the comments what you think. Your baby boys are back. I am joined this week, Wendell Holland from the winner of Ghost Island, Jack Atkins from Netflix, The Circle Season 2, and myself. We are breaking down another great episode. Survivor is really doing their thing on season 34. We are getting a lot context of who these castaways are. We get a beware advantage. There's so much going on. So I am so excited to break this episode down with your baby boys. And don't forget, next Wednesday, Bryce and Wynn Present is heading to Houston, H-Town. So get your tickets. They are available in the link in my bio of Instagram, Twitter, or you can head over to the Bryce and Wynn Present page on Instagram and get all of the information of the Bryce and Wynn tour. We are hitting Houston. We are hitting Philadelphia. We're hitting DC. We are hitting Boston, and we are ending in LA for the finale. So listen, we will see you along the way, but let's get it popping. Let's start this Survivor News. And we are back this week with your Survivor News recap, season 34, episode 2. I am joined by none other than the man, the myth, the legend, aka everybody's dad, Wendell Holland, the host of the Wendell Holland YouTube page. Okay, we're not going to do that this week. Let me just listen. You can't. First of all, I didn't even introduce you yet, so you're not supposed to talk.
I apologize.
Everybody's Dad, host of the Wendell Holland YouTube page. You might see him on HGTV. You might know him from Edge of Extinction from season 40. Ghost Island winner. Wendell Holland, welcome back to Survivor News. And listen, we are getting close to October. He's back from the dead. Ooh. You might know him from season 2 of the Netflix show, The Circle. I'm not sure if your floor is water. He also was on The Floor is Lava. He's currently in his senior year at the University of Chicago. He may or may not be recovering from a hangover, but it's all good. Let's welcome back to the podcast, Jackie Hackins.
Woo! And I got something for the posse today. There was a lack of buffs last time. Uh-uh. So, you know, I got them on me, but you know, I like to keep the buffs in a little, you know, where do you guys think they are?
Keep them in the tuck. I don't know.
Uh-oh. Buff in the tuck. Not on the leg.
On the leg.
Keep them guessing.
Keep them guessing.
Jack, I
he got a leg full of buffs.
I may be hungover, but I got the buffs on.
Got the Jack for the Jack Shack in the comments. I sent Jack the comment. I said, listen, Jack, they said where the buffs at. And Jack came through. He said, I'm going to give you a little thigh action. Jack is Mr. November in the Zaddy calendar, and he does not know how to act. Before we get into this recap, which I thought was a very juicy, juicy, juicy episode, you know, your baby boys are on tour. And this time next week, we will be in Houston with Danny's wife, Kiki, with Ozzy, with Michaela, with Davey, with Sharia, with Elizabeth, with Jolanda Jones.
Michaela.
Jackson.
Elizabeth. JP. Jean-Pierre from HGTV. My boy.
Oh.
Cliff Hogg.
Oh.
Eric Abraham.
Oh.
Ozzy Lust.
Oh. Ooh.
Kiki's husband. Did we say Davey Armstrong Rickenbacker?
Where is Davey?
Did we say Ashley from the ocean?
Oh. Okay.
Ashley Nolan from
Survivor.
35.
Now,
here's Hillers Hustlers.
Yes.
And Bryce, guess what?
What up?
I got a little secret too.
Oh. Whoa.
Don't, both of y'all, chill out. Okay. And I'm not going to reveal it, but I got a little secret for Houston too. That's all I'm saying right here. You heard it first.
Listen, I got a secret for Houston too.
Oh.
So listen, the Houston tickets are going. So make sure you get your Houston tickets. And listen, what's that Jay-Z song? Give me an encore. Do you want more?
Cooking raw with the Brooklyn boys.
They do that with Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, then we are coming home earlier this season. We are coming home, Bryce and Wynn present the homecoming. Mm-hmm. Okay. October 19th. Get your ticket because last time we came to Philly showed out.
Didn't they?
So it is going to be an amazing time. So make sure you don't miss it. Okay. I see a lot of people in the comments like, oh my God, I didn't know y'all was in my city. Well, listen, we hear H-Town. Then we're going to Philadelphia, then I believe it's Boston, then it's DC, then it's
La Land,
then it's giving LA, Bryce and Wynn present the LA final, the only finale you need to be at if you're asking me.
So, as Bryce was saying, and I wanted to add to this, any reality stars, come to our party, like, y'all are all invited, so come to our parties wherever we are, even if you gotta travel. We want you there. So this is your invite.
Yes. Well, we are back. Okay. Now, last week we had Jack moderating.
And the people said.
The people was in the comments talking about free Wendell. Okay, Jack, they said we put Wendell on spring break because we didn't want the commercials.
But I didn't see any bad comments about my moderating.
No, you did your thing.
We'll,
and
we'll let little Wen shine. No, I'm playing.
Jack will be back moderating. But listen, we're trying different formats, okay? We want to give the people what they want, what they need, what they deserve. And that's why Jack got the buffs on his thigh, okay?
Oh.
Okay, well, listen, this is a really good episode. So, Wendeezy,
take it away. Do you guys think that they're going to be 90 minute episodes going forward?
I think next week's episode is an hour, but
yeah.
Wow. But they need to just throw
us off with some longer ones.
Well, I appreciate it.
I mean, I don't. This is why I don't. Because on my season, they did the 2 hour one and two people got going and then the next episode. So I wish I was on this season. I could have had three episodes.
Yeah. They got 3.5 hours in on you already, Bryce.
They definitely did. I'm sad, but get excited for next week just to see who will be joining me and my illustrious third boot club.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get started. Let's get right into the episode. We are on the Fessy, the Yellow Tribe. This is after Mariah goes home. They come back to camp and they're there. And all of a sudden it starts pouring on them this night. It's a bad night for them.
Rain on me, Lord, won't you take this pain from me?
And they, yeah, enough. And it seems like we see him huddling. It seems like they don't get a lot of sleep. The next morning they wake up. Sammy's like, we need a new roof. Gabler is explaining how this is day three.
Yeah.
Gabler's like, man, I've been through a lot. I'm struggling out here. And apparently he's a big guy. I didn't see that he was, I don't know how big he is, but they say he's a big guy and he's wearing down and they're worried for him. It looks like he's running out of steam. We see him like laying down while they're building stuff. So I thought that was foreshadowing something. Maybe a Gabler vote out, maybe a Gabler quit something.
Ooh. Yeah. I thought it was a Gabler something as well, because one, seeing the rain took me back to my Kagyan days, and I remember when we had a typhoon come through, and that rain ain't nothing to be joked with. It, like, when you are soaked, your body, everything, and then all you are doing is waiting for the sun will come out tomorrow. That's a lie, because the sun did not. But I gonna be honest, when Gabler is having these All I kept thinking in my mind was, but y'all said Mariah was weak.
Ooh.
That's all that I kept saying in my mind.
Mm.
It's true.
When I was out there on those tough days, tough times, when I'm hungry, when I'm whatever, the thoughts that came through my mind out there, I was like, this is what I signed up for. I've watched people go through a lot worse. And This is what I came here for. And granted, during the moment, it's very tough. It's hard. But sheesh, they on day 3-4.
Do you want more?
Right? I know Bryce didn't make it that long, but jeez Louise. So, yeah, I thought that was some kind of foreshadowing. Maybe if they go to tribal tonight, you know, it's going to be Gabler. I don't know. But we had that. Then we jump over to the Red Tribe, the Vessi Tribe. And we have Dwight and Jesse. They're looking for idols. They're talking about the pairs on this tribe. It seems like there's a bunch of duos on this tribe. Justine and Noel, Cody and NECA. Jesse says that Noel and Justine clicked early. And he also says that although he's with Dwight, it's like he's not sure where exactly Dwight fits in. Ooh. But then he also says, like, he compares Dwight to, he says Dwight is his island wife. Bryce, any thoughts? You'd love to be in there, huh?
Give me my Pong Frong ring now. I do, Jesse. I do. Solemnly swear. No, I really like this. I didn't get really much of Jesse. We heard his story last week. But I think this episode for me and seeing his commitment to Dwight and being as though that, like, you know, NECA has Cody, Justine has Noel. You know, he really wants to solidify a solid two. And I really like in this episode how they really show the pairings of, like, you know, and I'm thinking, like, well, child, me pair with Morgan didn't help me. But I think as the game evolved, it really is important to pair yourself with someone and for you to continue to make alliances, because then that pair can become four. But I really liked Jesse and Dwight, just, and I don't know. I didn't see as what y'all saw where you was just saying, like, oh, Dwight reminds me of Bryce a lot. However, the more I get into Dwight, the more I'm like, is that my twin? are we twins? But I really like Jesse. Jesse is really moving this game, and Jesse realizes that he is could be the swing vote. And again, I think more like Dwight as well, because I would, you know, feel like, well, Cody ain't really talk strategy to me at all. So for me, that's like, that's a huge red flag. But then, you know, Jesse, like, that's just Cody. Cody is Codying. But I love this pair.
I got a question. Unless, Jack, you have a take first, or can I throw a question to you?
Yeah, throw a question.
I'm thinking about a six-person tribe. Does it benefit a Jesse to and all of them to have these pairs, or would it benefit a Jesse to kind of like pull away from Dwight a little bit and really latch on to the Cody Nneka thing?
Well, I think that he is. I think this is why Jesse is playing such a strong game. He keeps breaking it up into pairs, but he is definitely with Cody and Nneka. So he is with the majority at this point. And so, again, why I like Jesse so much is that he is actively pulling Dwight in. It's not like, hey, do you want to work with me? He basically is saying, like, what's up? And he's giving Dwight chance after chance after chance. Like, I'm here for Cody.
3 hours later.
Yeah.
We're having a tribal. Jack?
No, I totally agree like with what y'all are saying. I think Jesse's in a really good position. I think it's smart of him, you know, knowing that Dwight doesn't have a vote. He really just could pick his side, and then, which he does, he goes with Cody and Nneka. But at the same time, it's good of him to try to make Dwight feel like he's really a part of it, where it starts to go a little, where it starts to get a little complex and like create a gap a bit, is that Dwight really wants to run with the girls. So they have a really good duo, I felt like. Felt like there was a lot of trust, but just for their personal games, they did view those duos differently. So I think in the next episode, that could be it could make the relationship a little more complicated.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Would you agree that even given that Dwight wants to go with the girls, I feel like Jesse handled it amazingly. Like, it could have been like, okay, we can't work with him. Like, time to like pull an audible and do something else. Like, Jesse is committed. Like, when he took them island prong vows, he meant them.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think we see after tribal that Dwight looks a little surprised and confused, and I think he even says like, we need to talk about this or something like that. And when your island wife hits you with a we need to talk, you know it's gonna be bad news.
It's gonna be a long night. He's gonna be on the couch. We get Dwight's backstory here. We see that he was like a junior journalist, and he was at the DNC. He's been able to interview these big influential politicians, and that was kind of cool to see. And he said that he wasn't scared. You all right, Jack? Okay, thumbs up. Jack's good. Jack had a long night. But yeah, we get to see Dwight's backstory, and we're getting a lot of people's backstories. And I heard elsewhere that people weren't loving hearing so many backstories or
who said
these
that?
Stories of overcoming things or tribulations that happened in people's past. And to that, I say, yeah, there are quite a few people that had to overcome quite a few things on this cast, but there's also just real backstories. Dwight's backstory is, yo, I'm super smart. And at a very young age, I was trying to interview these high political figures. Like, just because we're getting backstories of these people doesn't necessarily mean everything's a sob story. I like to see that from this guy. That's another non-traditional story. And I think that's going to show us a lot about how he, as a young player, kind of navigates this game.
And hearing people's backstories and what they've gone through, I don't believe that they are taking it into Survivor and being like, this is a sob story. Like, no, that's just everyone has their own situations that they overcome. It's just humanizing them. It, like, okay, they ain't never happy.
Okay. But here's another thing. We start to see again where Dwight is kind of planting the seed that he doesn't love Cody with Jesse. And it seems like Cody is high on Dwight's like hit list or whatever, vote out list. Whereas way Jesse sees Cody is like, he's harmless. He's funny. He's a fun loving guy. And we can live with him. We can work with him. Living.
He just living.
Yeah. So I'm starting to see this pair that is Dwight and Jesse, but Dwight is trying to sow these seeds, these negative seeds about Cody, and Jesse isn't trying to, he ain't trying to buy it.
I don't know if they're negative seeds. I think that Dwight is just going with his instincts and saying like, hey, I was able to talk strategy with Noelle and Justine. That's where I'm leaning to. I'm able to talk strategy with you. We don't see a lot of Dwight and NECA, but it is very clear throughout the episode that Dwight and NECA have a good relationship. But, you know, he is just saying that like, Cody does not talk game to me. So like, if you're not talking game to me, then we ain't talk. Like, there's nothing to be talked about. But again, I think what Jesse is trying to convey to him or trying to make him understand is like, that's just Cody. Like, that's the game that he is playing.
Yeah. And once you understand that, you like Cody, for me, I think at first I would be wary because, you know, he's not really talking strategy. But then you realize if he's not talking strategy to anyone, he's just running around all day, like looking for rocks to jump off of. And he's like an asset in challenges. It's like, just keep him. And
huh?
He's an asset in challenge. Then it's like, why not just he's not really. And if you're on his good side, he's not going to vote for you. So it's like, what do you have to worry about? Like, Cody's not going to win the game probably. So it's like, just keep him around and use him in the challenges.
Who knows?
I didn't know how I felt honestly about Cody like first episode, but this episode I definitely am warming up to him. And the fact that his closest ally is NECA like makes me be like,
all right,
you coming to the cookout, Cody, you coming to the cookout. So I the more I know about him, yeah, he seemed wild. He seemed crazy. I don't know why when he talks, he reminds me of Steve-O from the show Jackass.
Oh my gosh.
But I like Cody a lot though. The more I am seeing of him play, I feel like he potentially could be a villain, but has a heart. So, like, I don't know. He's kind of like a wild.
He's chaotic. Yeah.
And we get to see his backstory later in the episode, which kind of informs us as to why he is living, L-I-V-I-N, why he is doing things to the fullest. And that kind of does bring you in and warm you up to this guy that in last episode, we were just like, all right, this crazy guy, we don't know how far he's going to make it, but it's going to be good TV. Now we're saying, wait a minute, this crazy guy, there's a reason why he acts this way and lives this way. We get a moment where Jesse basically says he connects to everyone except for Justine. And that's where we start seeing images of Justine being scared of spiders. Justine telling Cody, oh, you should move the bamboo this way. My nails are so disgusting. It's like a little montage of different clips of Justine being a fish out of water in a jungle. Like, we're thrown in a, you could probably make this montage of a lot of people, I would say.
Yeah.
But this is to show us Justine isn't, I guess, fully integrating with people or this jungle environment. Then we have a commercial. But then there was also a commercial for the new Love Boat, Bryce. Doesn't that look like a good, like a fun show to watch? No?
Jack, you have any more tissue?
After the commercial.
All the commercials last night were the same every commercial break. I don't know if y'all noticed that, at least for us.
Now you paying attention to the commercial, Jack? Oh,
yeah, well, I feel like I got demoted from moderator because CBS rang you guys up and they're like, hey, we need Wen back on the commercials because we need everyone to know about this new episode of Young Sheldon that's coming out. Followed by a new episode of
Ghosts.
On Big Premiere Thursdays. That's the name they came up with, Big Premiere Thursdays. They can't think of anything better. CBS got to stick to the reality shows.
Damn.
It could have been Big Living.
Away, Bryce. Put it away.
Oh.
Thank you. Back to the Blue Coco Tribe after this wonderful commercial break. Thanks, Jack, for adding into that.
Sorry about that. That had me bothered last night.
I'm going to be moderating next week, okay?
And we have, it starts with Ryan's kind of teaching them some footwork. I think he's a personal trainer. They're doing something on the beach.
Ooh.
Ow. He's not a, He doesn't do massages. Are you really hurt? Or are you asking for Ryan to give you?
I mean, if... I mean,
Bryce, I'm glad you didn't superimpose your face on Lindsay's body for this one.
If Ryan is cracking back, I mean,
we start hearing about the Girls Alliance, Carla Lindsay, and who else?
Cassidy.
And Cassidy. Plus, they got a plus one, and his name is James Jones.
Yes.
And we also get Carla confess in a confessional saying that Ryan and Gio are getting a little close, and that's of concern to her because, you know, that's a pairing out there, even though she's part of this huge alliance. Gio finds an almond tree. Him and Ryan start breaking up this this almond, and then we get Gio's backstory. He's always known he was gay. He told his parents at the age of 18, and they did not agree with this. And they basically said, "You need to change or leave the house." And he was forced out. He was homeless. He said that a lot of people in the LGBTQ community have considered suicide, and he said that he's considered that as well. And yeah, we get his backstory. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just amazing to see. And again, I will always go back to our diversity initiative of us having more POC representation. And again, for me, it was very important for me in the meeting to speak up and say that, like, not only do we need, like, you know, more BIPOC, but, you know, intersectionality is a thing. And, you know, we need more diverse stories of the LGBTQ plus community. And I think that Gio's story last night, you know, a lot of middle America watch a Survivor, and there could be a family that is dealing with, you know, their child possibly coming out, and it may not go against their, you know, whatever. And I hope that hearing Gio's story could maybe open their heart. But again, yes, a lot of families do kick their children out, a lot, like their LGBTQ plus, their trans community, the trans children. And a lot of them have to turn to sex work. A lot of them have to turn to the streets. A lot of them contemplate suicide. And it's something that's completely avoidable. And I just commend Gio for sharing his story with us, because for me, it was just very powerful. And for me, made me think, to be so blessed that, you know, I grew up in a family that, you know, accepted me, supported and loved me. But it also makes me think that that's not always the norm. And there are people like Gio's out here that have to raise themselves or to go through so much just for being who they are. And so I just think it's so important to hear stories like this, and especially on a show like Survivor. So again, during that moment, y'all know I was at a little watch party in Philly, and I had to ask Jack for some tissues because my eyes just started just watering. You never know what somebody goes through. And you see an amazing bright light like Gio, and you just think that he is the happiest person not knowing this past. And like he said, this is the reason why he's out here, and he wants to kill the game and play the game and live the life that it just, for me, it just was touching. And so I just love to see stories like this because it's important.
I agree. It's great. It's great for them to show these stories on TV for all the people to see this. Because I think in telling different people's stories, it just brings people together and opens people's minds. And we didn't always see these stories on TV.
And I also, huge shout out to Ryan. Ryan basically saying that he feels Gio can be comfortable with him, and that's something that he wants to support. And I just love the dynamic duo of Gio and Ryan. It almost kind of sort of reminded me of like me and you, Wendell, where it's like, you know, you support me, you allow me to be myself. And I think that like allyship is so good. And so to see this allyship between Gio and Ryan, I just think it's so amazing. And again, makes me just love me some Ryan even more.
I agree. Then we jump to the Vessi tribe, the red tribe. We have a moment when Cody is watching Noelle put her leg on. And he said something like, is there a hydraulic in it or something? He said something that at first to me, it sounded a little silly. But when I start to think about the person that is Cody, I think that he was coming from a good place and trying to relate to Noel. And then we get some of his story where he said he was from a small town in Iowa with 28 kids in his graduating class. In high school, his good friend Devin lost his leg to a tumor, and Devin had cancer and ended up passing away. And now Cody is living his life to his fullest in the memory of his friend. And he wants to play Survivor as hard and fast as possible. And I think that's the way he lives his life, because at this young age, he saw his friend pass away. That resonated with me, because when I was, well, in 2013, one of my best friends passed away from a heart condition when he was finally going to get his heart surgery. He didn't make it off the table, my buddy Jake Joyce. And I think that I live to the fullest. I don't have a live-in tattoo on my behind or anything like that, but I do think that I do these things in memory of my buddy Jake, who was this awesome, crazy, fun-loving person. And my first Survivor audition tape, I might have mentioned it to you guys, Jake filmed me for my audition tape. And then he said, you know what, Wendell, I want you to film me, even though he wasn't even a Survivor fan. So I filmed, and we both submitted Survivor tapes way back. And then my buddy passed away, and I have his birthday tattooed on my arm. So I was able to relate to this guy, Cody. And from that first episode, I was like, I don't know about Cody, but this episode, I'm like, wow, I really can relate to this guy now. And it's interesting how you can relate to these different people who, like, last episode, I was really like, all right, I'm just waiting to see Cody's downfall. And this episode, I'm really like, I freaking like this guy. I want him to come to a watch party. Like, I want to hang out. I want to live with this. Like, let's be living together. You know what I'm living. Saying? Like, yeah. So it was, that was interesting. Okay, Bryce. I'll shut up.
You said you wanted to live.
Put that behind away. But yeah, so we heard Cody's backstory, which humanizes him quite a bit and makes him a little more relatable.
I also like that interaction with him and Noel. And again, with people in general, when you see something, like, people have the tendency to stare, or, like, you know, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with asking respectful questions and getting a better understanding for yourself. So I just, again, loved and respected that dialogue so much, because I feel like in life, people could use that.
You shouldn't be afraid. If questions come from a place of love and respect, I feel like you shouldn't be scared to ask questions. And I think that's good with you and I, Bryce. We ask each other a lot to kind of learn more. But also when it comes to, like, different people, if you're trying to, I remember during, like, the Black Lives Matter movement during 2020, the George Floyd movement and all of that, a lot of my white friends would ask me questions about my experience as a Black man from a place of love and a place of them really wanting to understand what I've gone through in my have 3+ decades of life. They wanted to know it from a place of love. And I feel like people should be able to ask those kinds of questions respectfully and from the heart. And I think that that's what Cody was doing in his own unique way.
Yeah,
definitely. And yeah, I think the overarching theme for me is what of like, you know, the 2-hour premiere and then this 90-minute episode is we're just getting so much more time to really understand these characters, get us invested, and that's really going to pay off in the long run. Because you think about an average season, sometimes, you know, it's only an hour premiere or an hour, like most episodes are only an hour, and then you're missing out on so much opportunity of learning about the people that are out there, and that really has a big impact on how the game is played.
It also makes me think of, like, Erica's season. You know, I think some of the criticism about that season was that people just felt like they did not know Erica. And again, imagine if this was their season where we got these stories early on. Just think of the difference of how much better that it could be. So I think that it's good in two ways. I feel like whoever wins this season, we will be so much more invested. But will your favorite go home? Ooh, it's going to hurt a lot more. So, but again, it just tells, like, you know, we're invested. Yeah.
I am so unspoiled this season. I wasn't last season either. I am so unspoiled that every vote out is going to surprise me, and seeing different people go and get far, it's going to be interesting. We jump over to the Yellow Baka tribe on day 4, and we have the junior deputy water boy reporting for duty. We have Owen walking from water with this big pot spilling all over himself, talking to himself. It's a cool little funny moment. I think what we did was we would send somebody with a bunch of the water bottles and they would come back and fill up the pot. So
not carrying a whole pot, but I appreciate Owen in this because I felt like during my tribe, I felt like I tried to do things like this. It's like, let me get the water. Let me be helpful around camp because, you know, they won't want to vote me out. But I also feel like it didn't work out too well. But I also feel like, you know, Owen knows himself. And I think, what did he say? Grimace, or he used a word that I was like, oh, I don't really know what that means. But
a curmudgeon.
Yeah, curmudgeon. What's a curmudgeon, Jack?
A curmudgeon is
a curmudgeon.
Like, it's like kind of like a cranky old person. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So, and again, him knowing himself is like, let me take this time to like do something by myself so I can get the curmudgeon out of me. However, I know I'm probably going to jump a tad bit ahead, but I just have to say that I may have identified one of my winter picks.
And don't say Ellie.
Ellie is one of my winner picks because let me just say, first of all, I was a little harsh on my girl, but only just because I'm like, girl, we just said you we strong. You go for the girls. What's going on? But I just have to say her read on people and her reasoning when she gave the rationale between Cody and Owen, or was it Cody or it was
Sammy and Owen,
like her children, and the one might have been the younger one, but he's more independent. And then Owen is the older one, but he need more attention. And when I tell you, I lost it when they was at the fire and she came over and was like, maybe we should walk away and take some time to breathe. And when she patted him on the head like a mom, I died. Like, but it was in such a loving way, but also a strategic way. Like, I was like, Ellie, girl!
Jack, thoughts? Because I have thoughts.
Yeah, too. I think I have the same thoughts as you, but that's interesting that you say that, because I know last episode, I think Wendell and I were very high on Ellie. And now, for the exact same reasons you just mentioned, I'm actually not super high on her, Bryce, because I felt like it came across as kind of patronizing. Like, I feel like if you view people in the game as your like children, and we also saw her very strategically underestimating the boys, saying like, oh, they're not even strategizing, when we see that they are strategizing, I felt like she's kind of underestimating her competition, and that's going to come back to bite her late down the road.
Interesting.
Like, if someone came over and patted me on the head, I don't think I'd be very like,
but you're not out there getting front. Like, so I see what you're saying. It looks a little patronizing, but at the same time, sometimes physical touch, like in that essence, can be good. It can be calming. It can be soothing. Like, I don't know. I feel like it might look like that on TV, but I feel like in that moment, what was Owen's response?
To me, it looked like he was just kind of like, yeah, like, he didn't look very appreciative. Like, she patted him on that. She's like, maybe we go take a little break. Oh, and he was like, yeah, sure.
No, well, here's what I know for sure. We need to meet Ellie because my mom needs to meet my dad, Wendell. I think that they would be the perfect people to go on a trip with because Wendell is a dad in every sense of the word. So, Jack, we was at a little private, you know, little watch party. And, you know, I'm minding my business at the bar, you know, had me two margaritas, and Wendell came in. I saw him, and then I went to like go look for him to be like, do you want to order? I can't find him. I'm like, where is Wendell? Do you know, Jack? I just look out the corner of my eye. Like, you know how you can see stuff in your, here I go, peripheral?
No. Try it again.
Peripheral.
Try it again. But I'm going to add it to the Bricktionary.
Peripheral.
Peripheral.
That's the same thing.
Say it, Bryce.
Peripheral.
That was weird.
Peripheral.
That just sounds weird.
It's a weird word.
Anyway, peripheral, I see, like, I'm like, so everybody is just like at the bar level, and I can like just see out of my peripheral that there is like somebody on the step. And I'm like, who is on the step? I look over, Jet. This is window recording everybody.
No, I was taking a photo.
And he was getting frustrated because, yeah, he was getting frustrated. You could tell because he would look back at his phone and be like, and then like trying to like, wait, can you see me scrolling so you can see where I'm at in that, like that? You can't see, but I am.
I see you with the hat on over there, probably correctly. Taking a picture of me.
Right. And that moment, he needed an Ellie to pat him on the bed and say, it's okay, Wendell, the photo's great.
Bryce, I was taking a photo because in this bar, there happened to be, I thought it was something that I never saw before. It was a whole bar full of Black people watching Survivor. I thought it was a beautiful moment.
So what do dads do on Christmas morning, Jack, when the kids are opening their gifts?
You got to document the moment. Two things can be true.
I wanted to mention. Oh, go ahead, Jack. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask you, Wendell, what your thoughts on that situation were.
So I caught Ellie talking about them and comparing them like that. They were her children. And again, we were high on Ellie last week, and I was like, wow, I see Michelle Fitzgerald. Like, I see someone that can do this thing, that can play this game. But then I started thinking this episode, I'm like, man, she's starting high. And if we think about 41, we saw Shan start high. And I was like, I thought Shan was going to win season 41. And then she flamed out kind of like past the merge. So another way that I'm seeing Ellie is, all right, she's going to be really visible and one of those characters. And there's a possibility that like post-merge she flames out, which I don't want to see because she just looks like an awesome character that can really play this game.
Yeah. I'm liking what I see so far.
She definitely has some, like, yeah, don't get me wrong. I think she's definitely a strong game player. But at the same time, I do see the Shan comparison where she's on a tribe where there might be some not super strategic people. Like, they both have control of their tribe pre-merge, and then they get to the merge, and they're comfortable with trying to make all those moves because in a small tribe, that's a little easier. And then you get to the merge, and there's 10 other people, and there's some other game players out there that catch on to you, and then that kind of makes you flame out.
Yeah. So that's my take. Excited to see where Ellie's game goes for sure. She's going to be someone to watch. And again, she can win it. She can.
For sure.
But we'll see. And I also question, would they edit her to where we're saying she could win it right now and her go on to actually win the game?
Like, I mean,
I don't know.
Have you seen Bob Crowley season?
I haven't.
I mean, Bob Crowley was the clear favorite from the get-go.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, have you not, he wasn't the clear favorite. No. Bob Crowley was like the lovable, sensible, kooky guy from the get-go. And it was just like, and he always was like, I'm the oldest guy out there. Like, no, there was always a sense of like, okay, Bob. You know Jack, what?
I love Bob, but that season you're not watching and being like, Bob Crowley's a mastermind in this game. He's gonna win. Like,
no,
Bob was just a random person. Okay. Like,
you know what, Jack?
I mean, you had Marcus, Charlie, Maddie.
Jack, I'm starting to see you in my peripheral.
Well, Bob was in the peripheral for most of that season. So the final three.
Okay, whatever.
Even at the final three, you didn't know if I was going to win or not.
You know what?
I love to support Bob. I'm glad you brought him up because he was the man. We were with him in South Africa, that's not even me saying anything bad about his game. It's just he was not, you know, the clear favorite from it wasn't episode two and Bob did like a math problem. You're like, that 60-year-old is gonna win this.
It was the bow ties in episode one that people fell in love with. But whatever, Jack. Okay, get me together.
Okay. Then we get into our challenge. In this challenge, the tribes must dive into the water, climb up into a cage, grab this 400-pound snake, maneuver it out of the cage, onto the beach, onto a platform, grab some little discs out of there, figure out some kind of unlocking mechanism and then complete a puzzle at the end. Now, and this is for fishing gear for the first tribe and less fishing gear for the second tribe and tribal council for the third tribe. Bryce, can you pull up that image one more time for me, please?
This one?
This image. When I look at this image, I want us to get into our boy James Jones on this one. When I look at James, because I saw this on his Instagram, you got everyone jumping in.
What is he waiting for? What are you waiting for?
And on the episode, you see James is sitting back and you watch him take a deep breath. And then you watch him here and it doesn't show him jump in, I don't think. But when I look at his face, I see somebody that's like, all right, I'm a little intimidated by this, but I see a lot of determination. But he is waiting for everyone else.
He is waiting. He's like, y'all ain't going to see me. You ever see, I think it's Scream or Scary Movie, where she's like, what are you waiting for? Come get me. James was like, if I'm not the first person in the water, they won't know. But listen, I think that I'm so happy that you pointed this out, Wendell, because I think during this challenge, there was a common James Jones theme, and we will have to continue to touch on it as the challenge goes on.
Okay. So, yeah, they all jump in. They get into this cage. And in Survivor, and I heard Tyson talking about it on his pod with, I think Johnny Bananas joined him on his Survivor pod last week. I think, I don't know. Maybe I just listened to all these podcasts. I don't know. But Tyson was mentioning how heavy the Survivor puzzle pieces and things are compared to the challenge ones. And he's right. Like, these things are super heavy. So when Jeff said that snake was 400 pounds,
that's the real monster.
Okay. My inside.
So.
Flag of the play.
Right. So, yeah, that a 400-pound snake, very long. And we're watching these people try to get it up.
Oh. Throw the flag.
And that's out of the box. Oh. And that was people were riding it.
Oh,
James was the ladder again at one point.
But listen, I tried to learn my lesson from last season. Okay. But when the spirit calls you,
be careful.
And the spirit calls you, when you see Cody on that snake,
we're going to have to do damage control.
And you see Ryan on that snake, baby. Call me the bitch. I'm the snake this season. I am the snake.
Oh my God.
I'm the red snake and I'm the blue snake.
Jack, do you see that?
Yeah, you just saw it.
Okay. I'm the snake.
For those that are listening, you should be watching because Bryce has imposed his head on this snake. This is terrible.
Listen, but don't go in nobody's comments. Listen, we don't want none of that smoke.
Don't go in.
But listen, just know.
Bryce, you're not the yellow snake?
I'm not. Well,
you don't want.
I'm just the regular snake, okay?
Okay.
So, okay. They have to get the snake over. After they get the snakes over, they've got to drag it to the water. Okay? Now, through the water and on the little snake path.
Yes.
Okay. James.
Get into it.
James, Leroy.
Antoine.
Aloysius. Aloysius Iverson Jones. Okay? First of all, in this moment, what is James doing? Like, the snake is gone. Like, why? Like, did you just get here, James? Like, Ryan didn't carry the snake by himself. James finally decided to jump off. Now he has joined the party. But I need for y'all to hold on to. Need for you to hold on to yourself and listen. And if you are not at the Bryce Isaiah YouTube page, you need to get over here right now. Okay. James Jones.
James Tiller.
You didn't lift the snake. The snake is gone. So can somebody
Can somebody please explain to me how James got in this position? What?
He could have just climbed down the regular way. How is he horizontal?
He's falling. He's falling. What difficult. The snake is in the water, James.
The snake is almost on the beach already.
And this meme is flying.
The snake is giving him some vicious side eye in this picture, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's, the snake's like, really, James?
Yeah, like, for real?
That's what you gonna do?
I'm 400 pounds and y'all pushing me, and you gonna be up there like that?
James, they need you. James. You're one of the big, strong guys. Oh, my goodness.
How do you go from this to this?
That first picture, he looks pretty, like, pretty yoked, even though he's nowhere near the stake. He does look like athletic in this.
Yeah. Part. Look at his arms.
Yeah, his arms.
The thighs. Are... Like James is out there.
And then the next one.
Oh, my God. But okay. James Jones. After they had to put it on the thing, they had to drag the snake. And then this is when I was like, okay, maybe Dwight and I really are twins.
He's like,
am I supposed to pull here?
Y'all want me to do what?
I got out first. Okay. And also, what is Cody wrestling the snake like? Cody's like, you're not out here living. You gotta live.
Oh, man. Yeah. And then they bring it, they put it on the snake platform, they take the discs or the things out of it, mm-hmm. and
create the puzzles. Now, while they're creating the puzzles, the yellow team is in the lead, Coco is in second, and the red team is in last place. Now, normally, Jack, if I were putting the puzzle together, right, mm-hmm. and you and Wendell are behind me, like, y'all, like, what would you guys be doing while I'm putting the puzzle together?
Trying to help you from the stands? Saying like, oh, that piece might go over there?
Who is James Jones talking to? James Jones is out here helping the other tribe.
Oh, James is talking that trash. This is a great photo.
Lindsay, my girl Lindsay, and who is this? Lindsay and Cassidy is out here figuring this out on their own, and James is over here. You missed a spot to the yellow tribe.
James helped yellow win.
Right, okay. James thought he was yellow. He got a little disoriented from falling down the slide. And the yellow tribe wins. All thanks to James. And again, I felt like, good for the yellow tribe for them to win. Made me a little sad because it means the red tribe was going to tribal council. The yellow tribe came in first. Coco came in second. And the red tribe was sent to tribal council. And I just thought it was funny because Jeff was like, how many steps before y'all start game? Like, first of all, Jeff, if you just want a live tribal council, just say that. I think Jeff has likes the live tribal council because he was trying. Jeff was stirring the pot. He was stirring the pot. How many steps before you stir the pot?
So are we at tribal council now, Bryce?
No, we're back at camp.
Okay. And on the after losing, we get a Noelle confessional saying Nneka isn't really good at a lot of things, so she's got to go. Then we get this wonderful commercial break. We have a leaf filter commercial, and that really resonated with me, Bryce, because I need to get my gutters cleaned. I probably need new gutters, and I think there's a weed growing out of one of my gutters. On the backside of the house.
You sure it's not a snake?
I don't know. I think it's a weed. Okay. Are you going to get on a ladder and get it?
I would.
Okay. Next time you come over.
I think Wendell is CBS's target audience with these shirts. Right.
Dads.
He's like, I got a leaf blower and a new episode of Young Sheldon. I'm in.
Young Sheldon.
Living.
All right.
Watching.
Well, I do like the show Ghosts.
Buying.
I need to watch the second season of Ghosts. It's an interesting show. Then we get back in the Red Tribe. We have Cody talking to Jesse. He said NECA was atrocious today, but we're not going to let her go because she's in our alliance.
And this is when my affection for Cody grew
even more.
Even more, because the fact that he was holding our queen NECA down, even though she dropped the ball on the challenge, the fact that he like, she's one of us and we have to do whatever we need to do to save her. I was like, okay, Cody, you trying to be you. Cody just want to be the freakiest freak. Cody trying to get that Zaddy calendar invitation. But I was really nervous going into this because I'm like, oh God, NECA is on the chopping block. Then I got also really, really nervous for my twin Dwight, because I know that he currently was not necessarily going with the way that Cody wanted to go. Jesse wanted to go, but just the fact that Cody was like, I'm ride or die, I was like, oh,
yep.
I also find it funny, like during this conversation, when they start, because I'm like, oh God, if it's not NECA, who's it gonna be? And then they start, you know, they illuminate to it being Justine. And, you know, Jesse again is like, you know, I just can't, she's a salesperson, you know, I just can't trust her. Like, you know, and then in my mind, I'm thinking, like, hi, my name's Cody. I'm a salesman. Like, I just think it's funny. And I can't wait to find out, like, what Jesse thinks when he finds out that he is a salesman. But this is, like, the one thing that I hate that people do. Now, mind you, I respect the game that Jesse is playing. But I hate, because I felt like something like this was used against me. I felt like when I was on Kagyan and I was working, I thought I was working with LJ and Jeremiah, you know, after we got the fire together, the girls went off and LJ was like, yeah, the girls seem like they're pretty close with you. So like, you know, if you hear anything, like bring it back to us so that like, we'll know. And I'm like, okay, no problem. And then it's like,
did they offer you the same grace?
Well, they did not. But outside of the game, you know, because I told y'all whenever I'm around Jeremiah, LJ, and I have a little alcoholic beverage, you know, I always like cuss them out. And LJ's like, yeah, in that moment, like, you know, I couldn't trust you. What you mean you couldn't trust me? You asked me to do something and I said that I would do it. So I just say that where it was a little triggering for me when like Jesse was saying that he couldn't trust Justine because she was saying like, you know, oh, I'm a good liar, I can help with this. Like, but it, like, if you were working with her, those would be attributes that you would like want into, like, I don't know. I just feel like pick a side.
Yeah.
Okay,
Jack.
Yeah, no, I know.
Jack Rosen.
I know what you mean. Like, obviously, it was probably not the smartest thing for Justine to say. But you're not gonna tell someone you don't want to work with that you're a good liar. Like, it means it's a sign that she wants to work with you. But when she came up later and she told him, she was like, "Oh, I don't like all the way trust you. Like, are we actually good?" That was also like your read is not wrong, but you don't want to say that to people you're trying to vote with. You want to act like you're completely confident that you're working together.
Right.
Yeah. We get a moment when NECA walks up to Noelle and Cody and she's like, what y'all up to? And then Noelle's like, we're talking about losing and the stupid other tribe is probably eating fish tonight or something. And I'm like, she was probably talking about you. And that's that. But then they flashed over to the yellow Baka tribe right after that. And they're like celebrating, they're hyped that they won. And they send, Gabler does go out with the Hawaiian sling and they're joking, thinking that like, cause he has spearfished, but not with the Hawaiian sling.
How do you work this thing?
That's not how you work it.
Okay.
You hook it on your thumb, you pull it back and you hold it. And when you release, it fires.
Gabler.
But also at this moment, we get Ellie talking about growing up with dyslexia and being told that she was dumb and feeling less than by like teachers and classmates and having these I'm not smart enough feelings or I'm not good enough feelings. But she got out on Survivor and she beasted that puzzle. And that was something that really built her up. And another real story that that people can relate to.
Yes.
I will say it was funny. I noticed in that sort of sequence about Ellie, they like edited it weird. So it was kind of like she said, like, and people like, you know, back when thought that I was like less than or that I wasn't smart. And then she said, talking about the challenge, she was like, but in the challenge today, like, I proved it. And I, but I thought like her wording, it sounded like she was saying like she proved that she wasn't smart. And I was like, obviously she proved that she was very capable, but right. Like her wording or the way she worded it was kind of like pretty funny.
Right. But well, whatever. She proved to us.
Yeah.
She proved to us that she's been proving that she's deserves to be out there and she can shine out there.
And she's clearly very, very smart and a solid player.
Yeah. More than capable.
Yeah.
Yes. Then we go back over to the Red Tribe. And if Jesse ain't trying to win my heart over enough this episode, he pulls Dwight over to the side and really wants to talk strategy with him because he knows that Dwight is with the girls and wants to not necessarily go the way that they are going. And, you know,
he talks about the pineapple zone.
He talks about the pineapple zone. And that was like something that's like something near and dear to my heart. Jesse, like me and my wife at home, when we say the pineapple zone, it means that we could talk open and freely about anything. And I was like, oh, my God, Wendell, does that sound familiar to anybody that you know?
It sounds familiar for two reasons. And first, we'll talk about the serious one, which is that Bryce's sharing is caring table.
Correct.
When Bryce has something that is important that he needs to share with me that in other circumstances I might not receive the best, he opens up what he calls, or not just me, with people, he opens up the sharing is caring table. And that tips me off to understand that I need to check my reactions and understand how I should receive this information and be open to this information. And one time that he opened up the sharing is caring table, we were at Adelina's restaurant in Philadelphia with Joey. And I thought we had a good conversation, but I might've not received it how I should have received it. And that ended up with Bryce walking home down the hill. Despite us pulling up on him saying, Bryce, get in the car. And he said, no. And Joey said,
I thought he was going to ask me one more time. I was going to get in.
No. So that's, is that what you were going for?
Yes. No, for sure. Like, I just love the sharing caring table. And I love the fact that Jesse does this. And again, I feel like it's just great modeling. There are times that people don't want to have conversations. You're scared of the reaction. I think that with any group of your friends, your family, your partner, your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, you should have something like this where it's like, if I say this word, it means that this just allows me the floor and that you can't judge me. You can't have an attitude. And like,
I need you to hear me.
I need you to hear me. And I, you know,
I can't get the image of Bryce walking down the hill. Like, I'm imagining him like, hair like pulled down, like looking at the like angsty teen. He's like kicking a rock down the street, and you guys will have you like, you'll get in the car. He's like, no, Dad, I'm walking home.
And then Dad goes, "Screw!"
You're like, wait.
No, I wanted you. No. Yeah. And this shows me, like you said, Bryce, this shows me another thing about Jesse. Mm-hmm. This person who had a past, a real past, man, I'll tell you. And for him to come so far to where he's this good at communicating and does things like open up the pineapple space or the sharing is caring table, it shows so much about him to me. But the other thing about this whole, what's it called? The pineapple zone?
The pineapple zone.
That sounds like Bryce. a strain of weed.
Yeah, that too. Bryce has informed me about this pineapple zone as well.
No, what you talk about on a cruise?
He said that if you do certain, if you have certain pineapple imagery, whether you're on a cruise or elsewhere,
no,
it means certain things.
No, that's for if you're on a cruise and you hang an upside down pineapple above your dough. I seen that online and I said that I thought it was funny.
What does it mean, Bryce?
It means swing on in.
Bryce said if you walk around with a pineapple shirt, he said if you got a pineapple on your door upside down, he said pineapples mean that y'all are down for the swing.
It's not living, it's swinging.
S-W-I-N-G-I-N.
Cody's got that on his other ass cheek.
Yeah, he hasn't shown us the left cheek yet.
Maybe we need to ask Gavin about the pineapples.
Gavin is locked in the pineapple zone.
That's what we need to send them to Gavin's page.
Don't do that.
Yeah, so the pineapple zone is something that Jesse uses with his wife. He introduced it to Dwight, and I think that's really cool, especially on Survivor. You're bringing some of the you from back home. It's a way of connecting with someone, and it's a way of like doubling down. Like, look, this is what me and my wife share when we're like, I gotta keep it funky with you. So out here on this island, you're my guy. When I say this, that means, hey, this is an open, free communication space. I like that.
And it's also smart strategically, because you could say that it's the pineapple zone, and we could talk about whatever you want. Like, you could say anything, and you might lure someone into being like, oh, well, we're in the pineapple zone. Like, I really want to get this person out. And then you could get that information that they might not be comfortable to share otherwise. And it was smart too, because Jesse, I felt like, said we're in the pineapple zone, and then he kicked things off by saying, like, you know, I'm worried about Justine, for example, and that's going to make Dwight feel comfortable to be a little bit more honest with where his head's at.
Yeah. Right. Yep. And then fast forward, and Justine goes home. Jesse knows Jesse did it, and his pineapple partner looks at him like, "Yo."
Well, but I also feel like in the pineapple zone, Jesse explained to him where he stood, and I feel like Dwight still kind of sort of doubled down. So in that essence, Jesse is still going to do what he has to do. And because Dwight does not have a vote, and the way the votes may be split up, it really is causing a problem. And again, say what you want, but you know, sometimes in Survivor, when you need an idol or you need something, it magically appears. But Cody gets the Beware bracelet. And like I said before, that idol that Gabler got last week, that ain't no idol. That's a bracelet and an idol. Like, okay, Survivor, a bracelet and an idol. And Cody gets the Beware challenge. I also thought it was so interesting because he's like, yeah, I know in season 41 and 42, they did the Beware. I was curious to see if it was going to come back. And now it's back. And so, child, the Beware. Now, I like this. I'm curious to know what you think of the Beware idol, Jack, but Cody has to get beads from every one of his tribe members' bags and just collect them. And that will give him an idol. Do we know, though, is the idol like Gabler's only good for two votes?
I think it's a full-on idol.
A full-on idol. And if he does not collect the beads, he does not have a vote. And I was like, oh my God, if Dwight and Cody don't have a vote, like, what would Jesse have to do in that? Like, because essentially he'd be voted with NECA. Like, they would have to, like, I was worried because in that situation, it might be Cody going home or like NECA, because like Jesse ultimately would have to like vote with the girls, or they would have to go to Rocks.
Yeah. I like this Beware advantage because it puts the ball in your own court. Like, like in the past seasons, we see you have to have like secret phrases, for example, and you know, you might get the Beware advantage first, and through no faults of your own, you might lose your vote for four tribals. And now it's like it's a task that's difficult. It's a task that's going to be entertaining to watch, and it's something you can do, you know, within 10 minutes if you really need your vote back. And so I like that it gives like power to the player rather than having to like randomly wait around. Granted, Cody, I assume he could have done this, should have just stashed the Beware advantage back and come back after tribal and open it up, assuming that he might lose his vote and doesn't want to lose his vote 3 hours before tribal. Like, it definitely put a huge time crunch on him having to get this done.
Cody said when he opened it, he said something to the tune of like, I didn't even look at the Beware because I'm living, L-I-V-I-N. Oh. Okay, so...
And, you know, he was already wearing this hat. Like, so how perfect was this? They come up with this idea for everyone. Like, he wants to, like, add the beads and make his hat look popping. And so surprisingly, you know, first of all, I love my girl NECA. But I also thought NECA was like,
Odin?
you owed in. Dwight, you should give Cody your beads. And like, Dwight's like, huh? Like, but then ultimately he gives it up. But I was dying because my girl Noelle was like, listen, I made a bracelet out this John.
Iced out.
You ain't getting it back. Okay. Right. They really wanted her to give up her bracelet. And it was just so crazy because and the episode ends and we don't know. We get the tribal and I'm all looking at the screen like, does she have her bracelet on? Does she not have her bracelet on? But I couldn't help but to think when they were asking for her bracelet, it was definitely giving me
Angelina
vibes.
Your jacket?
Can I have your bracelet?
Oh, I need to. I'm taking a picture of this, you idiot.
I think they played it the right way. I mean, honestly, we ultimately see that he got it, but we do see Noelle's wearing the bracelet at Tribal, so it's kind of like it throws you for a little loop. But I think he really could have just been like, hey, can I borrow it for Tribal just to complete the look, and then I'll give it back to you right after? And I think right. That's probably what he did.
Because at first when I was watching it, I'm like, well, you're not going to use it. You're safe. So what is the big rush? But then I realized like, oh, he would lose his vote.
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to just talk real quick on the challenge breakdown on the Wendell Holland YouTube page. You know, we always get on TJ. And I just felt like this was a prime example to show TJ what an outfit is. Now, you know, I just felt like, is Jeff Probst zaddying out here? Like, I don't know. Like, he got the little pants on that fit just right, a little button up. The collar isn't collared out. The buttons are where they're supposed to be. No pockets like this. I just was like, okay, Jeffrey.
Jeff got his look together. He's been perfecting the look for 22 years now.
Yeah.
And I think he's got a good system. He doesn't really stray from the khaki and the blue shirt.
Oh, he's got the Adidas on.
Okay.
He's got the Adidas. Oh, yeah. The stripes. Yeah, Jeff.
Don't tell Kanye. Okay.
Nice fitted pants. Yeah, Jeff's doing it.
Hey, Jeffrey.
Jeff looks like he's showing up to my fraternity for Rush.
Was he at the party last night?
I think so. I think he wants a bid.
I had a question when we get off of Jeff's outfit, though.
Okay, what's up?
Regarding Cody's beware advantage, did you guys note at any point where he said to his allies, this turns into an idol, when, or was it, oh my gosh, I don't have a vote, I just need my vote back?
Funny that you say that, because I don't remember hearing the idol. I just remember him using the I would lose my vote. And I was like, is Cody out here a play? Is Cody living?
Living. Cause,
oh, no, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to catch it and I didn't see him saying the full story. Just, oh my gosh, I lose my vote.
But you know, Survivor over the last couple of seasons has been really good at like cutting stuff out purposely so that we don't see it. But no, I thought the same thing. Cause I was just like, he only talked about losing his vote. Well, what about the idol? Mm-hmm. And again, Jesse seems to think that him and Cody are tight. And Jesse's like, I don't know how tight him and NECA are, but dare I say Cody and NECA are extremely tight. And this might be a stretch. I don't know. But I do see there are some similarities in NECA and Sari. Because I feel like Sari worked heavily on relationship building and mm-hmm. trust. She wasn't that physical. And we see in this challenge, NECA didn't do that great.
Okay.
But due to the fact that she had built this relationship with Cody, like Cody held her down.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, do I see a little bit of like my girl Sari and my girl NECA? But anyway, we get back to Tribal and make me a little sad.
Yeah, we're in Tribal and Justine mentions that they're in the twos. She mentions that she hasn't talked game with Cody. Dwight and Jesse have a moment where Dwight's like, are we together? Jesse gets on one knee. Looks like they're together.
Are they?
And also, rewind, there was a point when Dwight was like, Jesse, I don't have a vote. And Jesse was like, you got to vote. My vote's your vote.
Oh.
Mm. 3 hours later. And yes, the votes. We get to the votes. Do we have anything more from Tribal?
No.
We get to the votes. Justine, NECA, Cody, Justine. Flashback to Cody getting his beads.
Ooh.
And it actually didn't look like it was that difficult. Bryce, when we were watching, did I run up to you and say, there's going to be a flashback of this fool actually
you
getting
did.
Them? Yeah, because I
your breath smelled like garlic Parmesan wings that wasn't like the greatest, but yeah, you did.
Well, after the flashback, we got another vote for Justine, and Justine is out of here. Jack?
I mean, I had a little crush on Justine, not going to lie. But here's what I will say. I didn't say I acted on it. I'm just crushing. C-R-U-S-H-I-N.
Let me see your butt, Jack.
The interesting thing is, though, it didn't actually matter that Cody had his vote, because it would have been 2-1-1 because Justine voted for Cody. And now I wonder if Jesse might have gotten her to split her. Why does my hair look like this? Sorry. I wonder if Jesse might have gotten her to split her vote just in case Cody didn't get his vote back, which I think would be really smart. And I guess because it didn't matter, we might not really find that out. But I would love to see why Justine voted for Cody, because it didn't really make sense to me. Because at first I thought maybe, you know, they think if Dwight and Jesse are with us, we split the vote. If they're not with us, it doesn't matter anyways. But then Dwight doesn't even have his vote, and they know that. So there's no point in splitting the vote. So I don't really know why Justine would have voted for Cody. But it is interesting that it wouldn't have mattered, I guess.
Who did Justine think they were voting for? NECA?
I think she assumed NECA was going home, but she put a vote on Cody for some. Now, maybe it's like in case an idol gets played, then there's a vote on Cody. But
I think that's what it was. And so if she assumes that everyone's voting for NECA, then she's going to protect in the event that there is an idol played by throwing one on Cody, I think.
Right.
Yeah. But I wonder if Jesse maybe persuaded her to do that, given the fact that, you know, like Cody might not have had his vote and he wasn't sure.
Just in case there was something funny.
And I do think, I mean, I get why she did that. But at the same time, it's a balance, because in this day and age of Survivor, there's a lot of times like we see people losing their vote. And so when you know that there might be two votes missing on your tribe, you might just want to vote with your closest ally just in case you can make a tie happen, rather than
that's true
planning for the idol. But there's a lot to weigh out when you're, you know, strategizing that vote split.
Right. Yeah.
Right after this, we get Dwight looking at Jesse saying, you did it. Jesse saying, sorry. Dwight saying, we'll talk later.
Well, we're going to talk later. And that just made me nervous, because it's like, I don't want Dwight to join my third boot club, and I don't want him to do something like, you know, I don't know how this will play out. But either way, I am still loving Jesse, still loving Dwight, still loving Ryan. And season 34 is definitely out here living this best life. And I am always glad to be able to come with the Survivor News with my baby boys, Wendell and Jack, and break it all the way down. This time next week, Bryce and Wynn Presents will be in H-Town, okay? Ooh. Kicking it and watching Survivor with hopefully you. Tickets are available if you want to click the link in Wendell's Instagram bio, my Instagram bio, or head over to the Bryce and Wynn Present page and bless your life. It's always fun, and we will be back next week. It's the Survivor Living. And that is going to conclude your Survivor News for season 34, episode 2. If you could be so kind to ensure that you head over to YouTube and type in Bryce Isaiah, make sure you are subscribed and following along. Give this video a thumbs up and get in the comments and let us know what you think. And as always, for every Purple Pants podcast, make sure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever it is that you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants podcast awaits for you to subscribe, write a review, and give your baby boy some 5 stars. And don't forget to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Can I have your beads? Cause it's a
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.